Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, we welcome you to
A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. You are listening to I Was Created. And that song is by the Singletons. Amen. And we're just so honored to be able to have one of their songs on our playlist. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing. We are excited about our speaker today. Amen. We certainly give honor to God today for all that he's doing in our lives. We worship and praise him. We thank God for our co-hosts. We thank God for each and every one of you, our listeners. We thank God for those that may go into the archive and listen later, and even those that may be listening live on the internet as we speak, and certainly to our faithful callers that call in every day to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being ministered. Amen. We have been having a marvelous time on this line as we continue to expound upon our crusade theme. And that theme is our tagline for our ministry, empowering souls for destiny. Amen. And most of you all know that we're almost in the week. Next week, if it's the Lord's will, we'll be hosting our 2014 Citywide Crusade and Ministry Launch there in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I don't think nobody is as excited as I am. Never envision coming back to this city, especially to do ministry. Amen. And certainly didn't envision when God birthed this vision in my spirit to do the citywide crusade that the first one would be held here in New Orleans. Of course, you know, my flesh and my little mind wanted to take it to the Carolinas. Amen. But that was before God spoke to me and told me to come back home. So I'm excited about what God is doing here in this region, and we ask you to continue to pray for us as we go forward in the mighty name of Jesus. We're waiting for our guest speaker to arrive. Amen. And before we get right on into the segment today, we're going to just open up with the word of prayer. Amen. I see Minister Barbara Ivy on the line. I don't know if she's in a place where she can open up with the word of prayer for us on today, but if so, we're certainly opening up her line where she can do so. God bless you, Minister Barbara
Ivy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How are you?
You're wonderful. I'm doing real good now when I see faces and see names of people that I grew up with in this gospel. Amen.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure to see. You know, I was talking just this week, Minister Ivy Barbara, on, you know, how it just gives you some extra strength when you see people of like mind that you grew up with in this thing. Amen.
That's
everybody
right.
Haven't fell by the wayside. We still have some people that's holding up the bloodstained banner. Amen.
That's
and
right.
We were just talking about Bishop Winston Singleton and was talking about all of the different pastors and evangelists and ministers that have came from under his ministry, under his leadership, and that is certainly to be celebrated. Amen. Because God didn't call us to birth ministers for them to just sit and warm a pew. He called us to lead and guide them where they can go out and be equipped, where they can go out and evangelize. He said go out into the highways and hedges and compel men to come. And especially when you have a calling on your life, your calling isn't set. It isn't your responsibility to sit and wait for the pastor to call your name to come up to the pulpit and preach. The Bible said make full proof of your ministry. And how do you go out? How do you do that? You go out and you begin to witness to souls. You begin to share your experience on what God has done in your life. You begin to testify of his goodness, and then you begin to make full proof of your ministry. Amen. And God have called up to birth other leaders to go out into the highways and the hedges. There's so much work to do. There's so many souls that are dying. Amen. And we're sitting around waiting on our opportunity to preach. Get a bullhorn and go stand on your neighborhood corner and tell somebody that Jesus saves. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It's no excuse for us today. Amen. So we're going to open up with the word of prayer. We see Bishop have come on the line, and we're going to get right on into this segment. So, Minister Ball, God bless you.
Lord, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus right now. We're asking you, Lord God, to come here on the line with your people. And, Lord, bless every ear that's listening in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking you to put a special blessing, Lord, on the speaker, Lord. Let him be led what to say, Lord, to help us climb on up a little higher, to get a little closer with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord, we know that your anointing is what we need. Lord, if we have your anointing, we have what we need. In the name of Jesus, get on the line with us, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus, touch each and every listening voice. Lord, each and every listening ear, in the name of Jesus, let something be said, Lord, to take us up a little higher, Lord, and to give us up a little closer to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we're asking you to bless this ministry, Lord. Bless this agent, Lord, that she hold on to your hand, Lord, that she hold on to your will. In the name of Jesus, we're asking these blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Ivy. We certainly appreciate that. Amen. I'm just always so humble when I have an opportunity to especially be able to have someone that have impacted my life. Amen. And can share this good news, this wonderful news. You know, just by way of just a brief testimony, and we're going to get right on into our segment. Amen. I didn't know anything about the Glover side of the family. Amen. And when I remember when I was leaving New Orleans, and it wasn't something I wanted to do, but I found myself in trouble. Amen. And I found myself running for my life. Amen. And I was only about 30 years old, had just turned 30. And the Lord spoke, and the Lord allowed me to get out. But I remember my grandmother and my great-grandmother praying with me before I left. And I can remember I had a brand-new Cutlass Supreme car, and I had only had that car about 4 or 5 months. And you know how your family love you, and, you know, they want the best for you, and they really don't want to see you go. But if it's for your good, they release you and they give you their blessing. And that's what my grandmother and my great-grandmother did. And I can remember my great-grandmother, which is our speaker's aunt, amen, his mother and my great-grandmother are sisters, amen. And so she released me and she gave me her blessing. And she had a very affluent, wealthy brother that had, you know, been to one of the prestigious universities and, you know, had a tailoring school and was just an accomplished entrepreneur and businessman there in Los Angeles. But I don't remember my grandmother giving me no real specifics about him. But she did tell me, she said, I want you to go and meet my nephew, Winston. And I can remember her words 30 years later, because it's 30 years later the Lord have allowed me to come back to this city for ministry. And I remember her specifically, Minister Barbara Ivy, saying, I want you to go. And she said, I want you to meet my nephew, Winston. And she said, he's going to help you. And as I begin to just reflect upon that, 30 years later, truly, I was there about 3 months in Los Angeles, and the Lord allowed me to go and meet Winston, and he was only an elder then, but later on he got elevated to the office of bishop, and I can remember he have helped me. I can remember going back to cosmetology school. I had about 1,300 hours, and I only needed about 198 hours to go to the state board. And I remember I was working in this bakery at Hostess Cake Company. And I remember working some long hours, but even in that, I was able to go back to school. Bishop Singleton paid for my tuition and everything. And in about 3.5, no more than 4 months, I was able to get the hours that I needed. And I went to the state board, and that was in 1985, almost 30 years ago. And I took that state board test and became a licensed cosmetologist there in that city. And I just marvel at what God has done in my life. I marvel at how great a God he is, how his promises are sure. Even me returning to this city, I never envisioned coming back to New Orleans to live. I was happy. I was pretty much satisfied where I was. But how many know when you have a calling on your life, amen, you make plans and you may make preparations, but we never know what God had, what God's full purpose is in our lives until we have an encounter with God, until we establish a meaningful relationship with him. And then when we establish that, then we're able to hear from God, not from our neighbors, not from our brothers and our sisters, but we're able to hear from God. And when God spoke in my spirit last year about returning home, I wrestled with it in my spirit because, again, some of you have heard this story, because I was leaving my sister there that's been in prison for 21 years, and I didn't want to leave her on the grounds of California, and then I leave her there. I felt like I was abandoning her. Then I had my last grandchild, my grandson, which was 2 years old when my daughter was murdered, and he's the last of those that I'm responsible for. And I said, Lord, I don't want to thrust him back into this environment. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, don't worry about your sister, and don't worry about Nino. They'll be right behind you. He said, Danielle will be released, and your grandson, he will graduate from high school. So that gave me a peace. And I just heard the Lord say, go. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? And as God began to commune with me, God began to share with me that he was going to rewrite my story right here in New Orleans. Not for me to get the big head, not for me to try to capitalize or monopolize on anybody's emotions or their conditions or their situations, but I knew one thing, that there were some souls here in New Orleans that nobody can testify to, nobody can witness to but me. There's some family members that nobody can draw in but me. And the Lord began to commune with me those thoughts. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to go. And I remember just getting my things together. I tell you, if I was able, if I had to pack up everything that I came with and leave and go out again, I couldn't do it. But I had a young man that packed my car up to capacity. And I tell you, I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was the Lord. He conserved on my gas. He allowed me to drive straight through, and I was able to fellowship with the Lord. I was able to hear from him. But now, amen, this vision that he birthed in my spirit about these crusades, I really don't have a full knowledge about what I'm doing. But I know the Lord birthed this in my vision. And this has been almost 2 years ago. And last year I was trying to do it in the Carolinas, and it just didn't come to pass. But I knew God had put this in my spirit. And also God put a burden in my spirit to help struggling young pastors, young ministers. Some of them have storefront churches. Some of them are in hotels. And sometimes they're thrust into communities and neighborhoods where people don't even know they're there. You know, if you got money, amen, and you're in a commercial building, and you have a church building, and you have influence, and you have friends and what have you, you know you can make things happen. But the young minister, the young pastor that God has given a vision to help lead his people, Those are the ones that don't get that kind of help. Amen. So we, I'm just so happy that God is doing everything that he promised me to, that he would do. Some of the things that's in my spirit, they haven't been manifested yet, but I'm so excited about this vision that God has given me. And if it's the Lord's will, next week we'll see it evolve. Amen, amen. So I'm just so happy, even in the midst of me leaving New Orleans, I had the wonderful opportunity to meet my cousin, who we call Bishop Alfred Singleton. Amen. And I tell you, I'm just so happy to have him on the line, so happy to be able to still glean from him, and so happy to know that, you know, this is part of my bloodline. Amen. My great-great-grandfather was a presiding elder in the Methodist Church. Amen. And I tell you, I would always see this picture in my grandmother's house about her father, which was her father. Amen. And all of his brothers was preachers. So I want you all to know it's in my DNA. Never did I know this little city girl would be raised up to preach and teach this marvelous gospel. But how many know that God can do anything? And anything he promised you, guess what? Just look for it. Wait on it, because it's going to come to pass. So it gives me great pleasure to have an apostolic father, a man of God that has blazed this trail, somebody that's been in this gospel preaching and teaching for over 65 years, amen, and he's still, amen, he's still able to preach and teach. He's still able to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding about this word of God. He's still able to share with us the stories and all of the experiences that he has had as a young minister and now as a seasoned senior citizen that's still sitting on the board of an organization that he just about helped found it. Amen. And that's none other than the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. He was the presiding prelate of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith from the year 2000 to 2008. Amen. He's now, I believe, the last senior bishop that's sitting still on that board. He was one of the youngest bishops that was ever installed in that organization. He was the treasurer of that organization for over 40 odd years. Amen. So I tell you, he is the father of 12 children, and all of them are living. Amen. He is the husband of one wife, and I'm so glad that he has his wife alongside with him, Lady Antoinette Halton Singleton. And I tell you, they will be here next week with us in the crusade. And we're just so honored today that he has taken out of his time to come and just give us some highlights and give us some understanding about this crusade. He did crusades maybe over 20 some odd years ago, so I know he can tell us a little bit about these crusades. I'm just getting my feet wet, but I know God gave me this to do. And if God give you something to do, baby, hold on to it. Don't let nobody discourage you. Don't get distracted, because whatever God said is coming to pass. Amen. So it gives us great pleasure to present to some this evening and introduce to others my Uncle Alfred. Amen. The Honorable Bishop Alfred P. Singleton, Sr. of Greater Bethlehem Temple Church, the Braid House, out of Lansing, Michigan. God bless you, Bishop.
And thank you, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. And I'm elated about that introduction. It's very, very wonderful, because it just paralleled my life and many things that you were saying. I could concur with that. It is true. I went to my pastor and told him I wanted to leave and go, and he said, well, if it always had been, whether the assistant pastor or his wife, he wanted God's will to be done. And that's what I took for part of my life. And of course, I went to California, started from house to house prayer. No churches we had there in our institution, and started from house to house prayer, so I've been there. also been the diocese and bishop of the state of California, and also the state of Wisconsin, down in Baltimore, Maryland. I've been all over, and we have done it all. But we're just so elated about this crusade that you have, God have put in your heart. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Do you hear me? That have put in your heart. I'm elated about that, and I can feel the Spirit of God moving. And because there's something about a crusade, it's a evolving experience. You don't know how what is going to happen. We had them in Montgomery, Alabama, my hometown, and we had we exalted as three power pack days, and we had a little billing on CBS, a little space on that, advertised it. And I want to tell you, you didn't have to beg the people by going to church. We went for all week. They was running from one service to the other all day long. And the Spirit of God was in our midst. And he really manifested himself in the crusade. And I'm just, as they say, a little nobody telling everybody I know somebody can save anybody. That's the thing that I enjoy. I'm 85 years old. I'll be 86 in October the 18th. And I'm so grateful to God. My first wife and I, we were married for 55 years. And she went home to meet the Lord and to be with the blessed dead. She's been dead. And the second wife, God gave me a minister, a preacher, and which I help her, which I needed so badly. So I'm still working. We're working for the Lord, and I'm just looking to him. And I concur with you, Adrian, what you were saying about God put in your spirit. See, schools make doctors, lawyers, teachers, and thieves and robbers and all that, but it takes God to be a preacher. Take God to make a preacher, and once he make you a preacher, you just got to move when you're obeying him. And I thank God for my heritage, and I thank God for my grandfather, who was a presiding elder in the AME church, and he taught me about Jesus. My mother was a PKs. They were pastor's children.
Pastor's children, that's right.
And well, we thank God for our heritage because it was on those steps that we stepped up a little higher. That's what it's about. They did what God was dealing with them in that day and time and brought to us this gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is a good God. I just thank him. When I became 19 years old, on my birthday, I left Montgomery on the Hummingbird that ran from New Orleans to Cincinnati. And, of course, it stopped in Montgomery, and around 4:35 I took that train, and I came to Detroit for my adopted home. And I've been in and out of there for the last almost 70 years. And, you know, I was called to preach, did my study work there on the late Bishop Hancock, and built churches, and was there at the very founding before we named this organization that I am in and have been in since its inception. I was one of the ones there because I recorded it with an Ampax machine. And all the people were there dead. And, of course, it was just was not a whole lot of them at the call meeting. I'm not talking about at the organizing. But it was God brought us together, and I was one of those individuals was there. And I'm the only one living. And, of course, I'm the only one assistant pastor under the late Bishop Hancock, no more. So I'm here to try to promote holiness, because holiness becometh thine house, at the word of God. And God gave me a message that And the holiness becometh thine house. And he said, tell the people there'll be no changes. And I preached that years ago. God will not change. His words will not go out and return to him void, but it shall accomplish. So we were trying, you know, I don't know. God had me here for a reason, because all of my compatriots are gone. But he know what he's doing. And I praise for you, Sister Bernard, that God will sustain you and help you, and you can't go down when you're standing on the Word of God with the textbook that you have. Not some ideas of a vain philosophy or man-made religion, but you're standing on the Word of God. So I applaud you, and I thank God for you and all of those individuals out there in this listening audience, wherever you are. My wife just came back from Kenya, and she was there. And we built one of my sister churches. We built a school, and we bought some furniture for one of the classrooms. So we are here, and we're expecting to come to New Orleans next week. The Lord said the same. September, I expect to go to San Francisco there. So we are still working for the Lord, and we'll do that until he calls us home. So if there are any questions out there about the Bible,
Yes, Bishop. Our crusade theme is empowering souls for destiny, and that's also my tagline for my ministry. And as you heard me speak a little bit earlier, I've done some research on this crusade, but you know, I'm a novice, and as I began to think about that, I was a novice when God told me to launch this ministry. I was a novice when I began to host this radio broadcast, but I marvel at God, and I tell you, almost 3 years later, over 74,000 listeners. We have people that listen all over the country. And when the Lord told me to launch out, Bishop, I began to question. I said, Lord, now, he said, God said these words to me. He said, I am going to introduce you to some people that you know not of. And I said, Lord, how in the world are you going to do that in this little country city, Stockton? How in the world are you going to do that? But God has proven himself to me. Amen. And as I launched this ministry, I began to think on my humble beginnings and how, you know, I was brought up in this environment, in this culture, and there's no other culture like New Orleans. Nowhere in the nation is there a culture like New Orleans. And so we grow up learning how to get a party together, because that's our life. We live for the party. New Orleans is a city that never sleeps. They say that about Los Angeles. They say that about Vegas and New York. But I tell you, New Orleans is a city that never sleeps, because you can find yourself engaged in alcohol 24/7. They won't ring no bell on you like they did when I got to Los Angeles. You can drink till you kill yourself. So I look at that, Bishop, because God took a gift of coordinating and bringing people together, and he allowed me to utilize that in the kingdom of God. So the gift that I have, it crosses all denominational boundaries. Amen. I don't look at people as denominations, but I look at them as God's precious people, because God made all of us. Amen. So therefore, I'm able to communicate with people on all levels. Amen. Right. And someone was on my line just a few weeks ago, and he prophesied to me, and he began to tell me about a common touch. He said, Evangelist Bernard, he said, you just have a common touch. And some of the listeners heard that, and he began to say, he said these words. He said, you can go and have dinner with the president at the White House and then go to New Orleans and talk to the homeless woman, and she wouldn't even know you just left the White House, because to win souls, we have to be wise. So I want to know, I want to question you a little bit, because we're launching out with this crusade, and I believe that God is just not going to do this in New Orleans. When God birthed his vision, he told me that this crusade was going to go all over the nation. Amen. It started out, it's being initiated here in New Orleans, but I'm expecting it to go all over the globe. Not for me, but for souls. So can you share, when the Lord gave you the vision to do these crusades, what was in your heart at that time? Did you ask God to do this, or did he just drop this in your spirit to do it?
No, I was around maybe 60-some years old, and I was lying in the bed with my late wife, and I told her I had a burning, that is, for a crusade. And she said to me, "Say, you have got to be an old man, you man. You're talking about going." I said, "But I got to do this."
God
blessed me to have three of them. And that is, was billed as the three power pack days, nights. And I mean, God met us there. You walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. Mm. And God revealed to you, when you come to your end and you can't do and you can't do this, that's what God wants. He wants to show you something. If you have faith and confidence in him, you don't go to the academia and try to prove to them about God created the heaven and earth, and when was this and that. No, because the world by wisdom do not know God, you see. And they're not spiritual. But he that is spiritual judges all things, quote, close quote, the Bible, and he judges all things, but he himself is never judged. In other words, God give you an inside eye to see things that ordinary people just doesn't see. And of course, very difficult, but you have to walk by faith. If we would, if God put the burning in your heart to do something, then he turn around and tell you about all what the hills that you're going to have to climb and the obstructions that are going to come in your way and all this, we probably would be hesitant to do it. But he tells us what he can do. Then we must move out by faith and confidence in him. And have one thing in mind, what you said is souls. God is calling for souls. And, of course, people that believe in Jesus Christ, those are the people that you're shooting after. If they say they love Jesus Christ, then they love the word of God according to the textbook, and that is the Bible. And if they do that, you know, as Jesus said to Israel, the Pharisees said, they said that Abraham was their father. He said, if Abraham was your father, you wouldn't try to kill me. So people that say they love God, you can't love God without loving his word. I didn't write it. God wrote it. And God is holy, you see. And he don't have to get holy. He is holy. He makes things holy. He makes people holy. And, of course, if we will obey his word, that was, we are meant to so many people. And if there ever was a day in time when people need God, is because they need him now. We're living in the last, Sister Bernard. And the reason why, people don't know, they don't realize what's happening. What is happening in the world today, which I preach and teach in my classes, that is prophetic prophecy. Now, prophetic prophecy, and I use them just a common term. You're not going to get this from an intellectual point in the room of the academia. They're going to say it's something else, but it's the same thing. Prophetic prophecy is only history told in advance. That's all it is. That's what it's told in advance. Now, take in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, I think it is, where these three men was lying in the street and for 2 days or so, and they passed gifts. Old folks were happy because they tormented the earth and people, but they was lying in the street for 3 days. After the end, the Spirit of God came back into them and took them up. You see, I said the whole world saw it. Now, when I got saved nearly 70 years ago, we didn't know how that was going to be. Now, the technology and knowledge that we have received today, you got Facebook, you got this, and you can't say it. And if they put it out there, you can't retrieve it. It's gone.
That's right, it's gone.
this is the word. And you take now what we're looking at today and tomorrow about the Middle East. And it have happened, and I have watched it from Eisenhower to Reagan to Johnson to Kennedy, you name it. Even in Obama over there in the Middle East. The same thing. It's a phenomenon. They don't have the answer. But one thing they keep doing, keep coming back to the table. This is one of the signs of the Bible. Israel is the tree. And God said we should view it above all the trees. And when you see these things happening, time is winding up. The whole earth is filled with violence. The whole earth. Not just one, but everywhere you look is just it. And this social media is different. You do something now, it's right on there, and they're perpetuating it from one to the other. And it's a very sad day. People don't realize what's happening, but it's a sad day. And wickedness is covering the earth. And then you got preachers who want to be like the Hollywood stars and all this stuff. And after money. Well, if that's what they want, that's what they get.
That's right.
But I'm not looking for that. There are two things in the Bible, evangelists. Number one, in the 12th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, it said, prepare your stuff for moving. Move by day, move by night, but prepare your stuff for moving. Then Jesus came along and said, all of these things. So you take thing and stuff equals nothing. And life is an illusion.
My God.
Don't tell me about New Orleans. I've been there. I was there in the 40s. Right there, 1414 LaSalle Street.
You know that address. I can't even remember that, Bishop. I was a little girl, I guess, and probably wasn't even born.
No, you wasn't born. That's but right. What I'm saying is God going to do what he says? He calls a jackass to talk.
Come on, Bishop.
You don't have to go to university to learn about being called by God. They can't call preachers. They make lawyers and doctors and teachers and etc. But it takes God to make a preacher. So don't you worry about a thing. Do what God has put in your heart to do. Let his will be done in your life. And you can't never tell. You can see miracles down there.
Yeah.
Because he can't deny himself. So I'm excited. Because I walk and not by sight, and I'm excited to you know, and to and what's your subject?
Empowering souls,
empowering
for destiny,
empowering people to what?
For destiny, souls for destiny.
Let us pick up a more common synonym for that. You're just mentoring people for to get to him. That's all you're doing. People watch folks who say they are Christian. And they say, well, don't know what I mean. They get excited because people watch them and don't think, well, if you do what's right, you don't have to get excited. I want people to watch me. I don't have to get up and with a biography. I am a biography. I lived among these people all these years. That's what it's about.
Now, Bishop, you're pretty much
You're pretty much old school.
Big Latin?
I say you're pretty much from the old school of holiness where, you know, when you were brought into this light, there were so many restrictions on the saints, I'll say. You know, I can remember some of your children sharing with us about the television, about, you know, the dress code, about that and the other, the things that the people of God could not do. Can you share with us some of how you were able to keep your your home life and your church life balanced, whereas your children, even though we know all of us are in the world, but we're not of the world. How were you able to raise 12 children and keep them in a place where the enemy wasn't able to just come in and rob them of their heritage?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it's a very good, sound question, and I have lived long enough not only to be a father, but a grandfather, you name it. The reason why we did a lot of changes, and the reason why that we did a lot of changes, because we didn't go according to the textbook, and that is the Bible. If you go to university and take and major in whatever whatever you're going to major in, you have a textbook for that. And when you get through reading all the books on the subject and things of that sort, then you're going to have to come before the professor, and then you're going to have to write a thesis, a paper, or whatever it is. They're going to grade you on that. But they're going to grade you on the books that they suggested for you to read and study. What we did from the initial outset, and of course the 250 years of slavery did something to both races. It did something to the Caucasian, it did something to the black. And you was dehumanized because we were trapped, and like you trap animals, stacked in the ship like sardines, brought to this country and refused to let us learn how to read and not write. And of course, but a lot of the organizations that is the traditional organizations, such as the Methodist Baptist organized religion, they had a head start. You take like Morehouse and a lot of those universities down in Atlanta, they started in the basement of the church. That's where they started. And, of course, my grandfather and all of them, they wanted him to be a secretary, but he wanted to stay in Alabama. But when we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is in Azusa Street, 1906, but there was a widowed Ella who was born in 1844 in Elizabeth, if my recollection served me, Ohio. And she blazed the trail before the Azusa Street. And God's spirit was on her. People was knocked out, slain in the spirit. And, of course, and that was for the Azusa. So they came up to Azusa Street. Then when the Azusa Street revival broke out and God saved those people, Brother Seymour and others, and then they left there and they started organizing organizations. Now, the Church of God in Christ is the oldest Pentecostal organization, the oldest, not even before the UPC, because according to the record, Brother Mason had to sign the papers for them to get clergy. And I used to ride clergy when I was living in Los Angeles. But so you got those things. But what we did, we wanted to be different from anybody else. We wanted holiness. We wanted to live right. And they had a good mind. But Jesus said sometime, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And people get carried away with the revelations and their interpretation of it. And the Bible says there's no private interpretation of the Bible. No. God is not going to give you a revelation, and I got to have a revelation, and the other fellow got to have a revelation that the Bible does not sustain. And this is what happened to it, and everybody was doing what was right, how they was convicted. They said, well, that's not my conviction. Well, listen, you're going to go into trouble. It said we should believe upon him according to the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Now, if we don't take the textbook, which is the close quote according to the Bible, then you're going to get off on things. You're going to get off on dress. The Bible said we should dress modestly. That's what the Bible said. Then we should adhere to that. But you got some people, they believe modesty is this and that and what your colors and, oh, that's not what the Bible says. So that's the reason why that we had so many problems. And we have changed and changed and changed and changed and changed. And I want to tell you, if we would stick with what the Bible says, quote, close quote, what it says, we wouldn't have to change. You see, Paul had to get Peter straightened out because he had two standards. And the first meeting, council in the book of Acts when he came up and he rebuked Peter, told him he was prejudiced. And of course he didn't get angry, but he changed and did the thing that was right. So that's why we made so many changes, my daughter. And of course because we don't believe this over here. We don't believe this over here. Well, that's organized religion, and people got this type of thing. You know, the Apostle Paul said there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, and that is Christ
My
Jesus.
God.
My God.
But he said that every man take heed thereof, how he buildeth thereof.
How he build, okay.
Then he deal with the material, to what they're going to deal with. You can't build with envy and strife and jealousy and trying to be a big shot and all this time trying to get money. You know, I mean, it's a sad day that we're living in. And trying to keep up with the Joneses and this and that and not how. You got people today, we done drifted off so, that we think that godliness consists of what you got.
My God.
So talk to me. I know what I'm talking about. You see, there is no private interpretation of the Bible. And you can understand that, Sister Bernard. That's no problem. Yeah. God give you a private interpretation and you revelation, you got to have a revelation. Then you got to give me one. I got to have a revelation. I want you to listen to me like you want me to listen to you.
That's correct.
Then we're all in a mess.
Now, Bishop, were there any, can you describe, are there any crusades in the Bible that we can have relative to what we're trying to do now?
Oh, sure. You see, what you have to realize that the Bible said we was not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. And not only that, but the blood of bulls and heifers could not wash away our sins. But we will wash away our sin with the precious blood of Jesus. The reason why Israel did not get the thing that God had for them because of their unbelief. They were so wrapped up in their tradition, and that's what you got to watch, and I just got through explaining that.
Tradition, yeah.
Tradition, they were so wrapped up in their tradition, they missed God, you see. They thought Jesus was coming, riding on a white horse with crowns on his head. Not now. He came as a humble servant. But now when he come this time to take away his sake, he going to have the throne on him. So that is the reason, one of the reasons why that we miss it, because of the tradition of Israel had. And when God came to them and sent Jesus to them in the volume of the books, and it says, I come to do thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. He humbled himself. He became obedient even unto death. And he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down on myself, quote the Bible. I have power to lay it down. I have power to pick it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is the Bible. Now, all this other stuff these people are adding and things of that sort is not Bible. And that only caused confusion. Now, so the law could not do it to Israel because the law was weak. Then what God did, he sent Jesus, he died on the cross. And not only that, but he sent him to his own, he came to his own, and they received him not. But as many as did receive him, watch this now, to them gave he power to become.
Come on.
To become. So it's an evolving situation. To become the sons of God. Now, I'm not talking just about the Mosaic and the kingdom where the Mosaic and where they had to deal with Israel and the law, because the law couldn't do it. But then Jesus came, and they sent John the Baptist, you see. And what he had to do, it told him what to preach. His message was repentance. And that's what you got to deal with your crusade. You're not dealing with who they are, where they come from, what they believe, but repentance.
All right. Repentance.
That's right, repentance. You're sorry. Now, even if you have Jesus Christ in your life as your knowledge, and you want to go higher, you got to repent. Do you understand? You got to repent. And that's what John the Baptist came preaching, repentance. And that's what they attached it to Jesus, and then John followed Jesus all the way up until he couldn't take it anymore. And he caught up with him. He said, Rabbi. And when you deal with a Jew calling a man a rabbi, they don't play with their religion. Said, we know that you come from God. And we know that God is with you. But no man can do what you're doing except God be with him. Now, they had a fix on Jesus from the River of Jordan all up until John caught up with Jesus. Nicodemus caught up with Jesus. You see, then he began to question, but he had put a hook in him because what he had said. Jesus had put a hook in Nicodemus because what he had in his message. And Nicodemus was a ruler, and he was educated. He said, Rabbi, but you said in your message a man had to be born again.
Born again, yes.
He asked a very philosophical question with sense. Now, you deal with it from academia. You got to go all the way back and come into your mother's womb and come out again. But if you analyze that, if you come out again, the same product of the flesh, you're going to be the same thing. But Jesus was talking over John, over Nicodemus' head. He was talking about the new birth. He said, Rabbi, I don't understand. How can a man be born again when he's old? How can he do it? Can he go back into his mother's womb and come out again? You know what Jesus said to him? He said that, aren't you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? See, what you're dealing with, evangelist, when you're dealing with an untrained carnal mind, they don't understand the things that are of God.
Mm.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, let the wind blow where it listed. Is that right? Can you see the wind? No. You can hear the wind. He said, so everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the wind blow where it listed. We hear the sound thereof. We cannot tell from which it come or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Sister Bernard, when people get the Holy Spirit, God have to give it to them. God have to give. You can't give nobody the Holy Ghost. And the thing about it is that they got to want it. Because there's no way. See, what people are trying to do today, Christian, who are trying to do right without first getting right. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Trying to do right without first getting right. You've got to be born again. That's the getting right. You can't pay, you can't pour new wine in an old bottle. That's where it started. And that's why crusades start. And Jesus had them around him. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind, and they followed him. He followed him because they needed help, you see. And he said, with his hand up, outstretched, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. People need rest.
Now, Bishop, let me just inject this for a moment. Why aren't we visualizing or able to witness those miracles and signs and wonders that the Bible speak of? I don't see that in the church, the 21st century church. I don't see that.
Well, you don't see it in the 21st century church because of where you are. But I had, when I was presiding, I did a address on the apostolic wind.
Watch out now.
I don't know if you remember that or not, but I did message, the letter on address, the apostolic wind blowing. Now, where is it going? It's blowing in Africa. It's blowing in Korea. It's blowing in different places in Asia. We got a multicultural church here. People that come from Burma, they come here, can't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And the man we wasn't even having church, he found our church on the internet.
Internet, yeah.
That's right. And he come here, and we wasn't having church, and he want to know, did we baptize in Jesus' name? And he can't even speak English. What is happening is the people is just too fat. They don't feel they need God, you know. They're looking, eating good, got plenty of food to eat, stuff, folk got money, good job, they ain't not. But you go to Africa, Asia, and different places like that, a lot of the Holy Ghost is poured out on these people. So that was one of the reasons. You see, now I talk about Woodard Eller. She was born in 1844 in Lisbon, Ohio. I think it's my recollection, serve me right. But that was in slavery time. And she went over this country, I mean, in her tent meeting, Sister Bernard, she had sometime in 22,000 people in her tent.
Wow.
In California, she worked there in Oakland, down where I was installed as presider, down in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a book, you know, that is not corporate that Brother Haywood had. But she was worked all over. All over. She had crusades all over. People were slain in the spirit and all that. God got to do it, daughter.
Mm.
Yeah, he have to do it. Mm. And when he does it, it's done right. But it's now, very hard. You got, you know, the same old thing. People, they get to, they seek after God. Then some of the people that were with Jesus, you know what he told them? That you follow me not because of the truth, but he said you follow me for the fish and loaves.
The fishes and the loaves.
Yes. Mm. You got all of that, but you put your trust and confidence in Jesus and let his will be done. In other words, you're doing what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk by faith. That's all you can do. Walk by faith. I know what you're saying. I listened to your testimony about why God called you and where you came from and all that. That I was just rejoicing in my spirit, because a lot of that is paralleling my life. You know, same way, you know. And God have been good to me, and he still got me around, and I'm just so grateful for him and for his blessing of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are gone. And I can try names in the 40s of people that, hey, everybody, let's have some fun. Let's go and live for one. When you're dead, you're done. Sashmo, who made the streets of New Orleans happy, and they're dancing. And the whatever you call that, and Mardi Gras and all these things. Nah, them folks are gone, man. They're dead and gone.
That's right.
But life is an illusion. And there is no genuine peace. It's a superficial thing, daughter. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. Then a lot of times the people are all mixed up with all kinds of spirits. And you got to have God in you and know what you're doing with. And he's the one that have to protect you.
Mm. Now, one more question, Bishop, and then I'll open up the line for a few callers on the line and see if they have any questions. People are seeking for something, and, you know, there's always a new wave, you know, a new a mantle that have fallen on this one or that one, and we're looking for a sign, we're looking for a prophecy, and you find people so grafted hear prophecy, you know, prophecy for them, and most times they want people to prophesy about some tangible things, nothing spiritual, but just tangible. How do we not fall into that vein where we're looking to speak a prophetic word to someone when the word is already, the Bible is prophetic from Genesis to Revelation. So why are we just seeking out this thing we call in prophecy?
You're dealing with a day where people are heady. I'm quoting the Bible. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. They're lifted up. They're lifted up with pride. You see, there is a passage of scripture in the Bible. It said, let no man judge you with meats and drinks and days and things of that, and angels and all this. A lot of things they speak about because they're lifted up in their spirit, you know, their pride. So, but the thing about it is this, you got everything coming out of the woodwork. You got prophecies, and you got apostles, and you got everything. But you know, I don't let that bother me, Adrian. I say if you got it, show some signs.
Oh, that's my favorite word.
If you got it,
signs.
If you got it, show some signs. Do the work.
All right.
Everybody talking, ain't nobody doing nothing but running their mouth a lot of times. So people want to be somebody. Well, we all should want to be somebody, but we want to do it right. For he that strive for the mastery, yet he's not crowned except he does it lawfully. So this is what you're dealing with. But make sure, sweetie, that you're building on the right. foundation, that your life is here with Christ and God. Don't worry about nobody else. As whoever, whosoever will, whatever institution, organization, whatever they're in, let them come and hear the word of God. And let God deal with them. Don't worry about them.
Wow, you know, we couldn't pay for the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that we're getting from Bishop Singleton. I tell you, he's just not talking because he just got here yesterday. He's been around. Amen. He's one of our apostolic fathers. Amen. Some people don't even know what apostolic is. Can you kind of give us some insight about what is apostolic? Because some
is that which was taught, practiced, and lived and preached by the apostles. You see, that's what apostolic is, the apostolic doctrine. The church is relevant down through the ages. It has never changed. It's the apostolic gospel that was preached on the day of Pentecost by the apostles. Mm-hmm. And Paul and them went over the country preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when I got saved, you tell people about your apostolic, who? Pentecostal, what? Now, everybody and their brother practice, you know. And where I came to this city 40-some years ago, you had some preacher didn't want you to say nothing about the Holy Ghost in that building, in that pulpit. So it's that which was practiced and preached and taught by the apostles. That's what it is. Hello? Hello?
That's simple, Bishop. That's a very simple definition and explanation. Amen. What? We're going to open up the lines. We have a few callers. We're going to see if they, if any of you all have any questions for Bishop. We're not going to hold him too long today. We want to, if you have a question and you want to get an answer from Bishop, hit the number one key on your phone and we'll open up your line. If not, we're going to let Bishop go. So is there anybody on the line with any questions? Hit the number one key. If not, we're just going to go and allow you to say something to Bishop if you like to. Amen. We're going to go to Sister Ruby. Let's go to the first call at the top of the switchboard.
Oh yeah. Area code 205-0728.
Yes, this is, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We go to Sister Bernard. This is Pastor Dwayne Morris in Birmingham, Alabama. How you doing?
God bless you, Pastor Morris. God bless you.
You're doing a great job. I'm enjoying the program. Great stuff. Praise the Lord, Bishop Singleton.
Praise the Lord, my son. How are you?
Good, good. I have a question for you. I grew up in the church under Bishop Coleman, and when I was growing up in the church, when you all preached the gospel as we were growing up, people knew that they were not saved when they came to the apostolic churches. Now, as a pastor preaching, we preach to people that think they're saved. Is there a certain way you have to preach to them when they already think they're saved? Because I'm finding a problem because they think they're saved. A lot of them cannot repent.
Well, the reason why a lot of them, they think they're saved and not, there was a time we didn't believe in medicine. We didn't believe in going to doctors. We didn't believe in wearing ties in our organization and we're back. So there's a lot of things we didn't believe. You know, Bishop Coleman, probably I baptized him in Detroit. That's where he got saved. And,
okay, yes, sir.
And his church is one of the most prosperous churches even today. He got a very powerful church in Jackson, Mississippi. But you got people dealt with stuff and things. Well, they didn't wear earrings, didn't wear lipstick, didn't wear fingernail polish, and et cetera. And that's how we preached on them. And we talk about cigarette smokers, kunk hair, and all like that. Wasn't saying, but what you expect? for people to come to a church that is not saved. They're sinners. That's what
okay.
they are. But we got we must preach the gospel, not a tradition. That's not the thing. A lot of people we lost. A lot of our children was turned off because of our aggressiveness of things that we had doing that called holiness. That was the wrong way to do it. And, of course, it is now there. God have a standard for everything. And that's what if we deal with the textbooks and preach what it says, we will get the result that God will have us to get. But when people came to our churches way back then, I know what you're saying, we know they wasn't saved because of the way they was dressed. And that's what we dealt with, you see. But that sometimes that turned people off. And, of course, it turned a lot of, we lost a lot of our children because we didn't take time to understand when they're a child, they speak as a child. When they get grown, they put away childish thing. There is an evolving thing that we go through. I was saved when I was 20 years old, and I'm 85, be 86 month after next. And but
that's
everybody cool. was not like me. We had young folks the same way, and carnal and things of that sort. But a lot of them, they go through their transformation and they get a different mind. We have to be able to, even the feeble-minded person. We got to deal with them according to knowledge, the Bible says. We got to comfort them and let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And that's what the you understand? We can't play God. And that was one of the reasons. Now, we didn't mean it from a malicious standpoint, but we was trying to do what was right. Hello?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you for your answer.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Amen, amen. So happy to see you, Elder Dwayne. That is late for our listeners. That's Lady Morris' husband, Pastor Dwayne, out of Birmingham, out of Alabama. So we just thank God for them being on the line today. We see Lady Morris, too, so we're going to go to her. Amen. God bless you, Lady Morris. She's always so faithfully come on and listen in, get a chance to tune in sometimes. So we thank God to have a husband here with us today. We're looking for him to come back and share the word of God with our listeners. So don't be a stranger, Pastor Dwayne. Amen,
oh,
amen.
Lady Mars.
Amen, Lady Mars.
Praise the Lord, Evangelist Bernard and Bishop Singleton. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I have thoroughly enjoyed the broadcast on today. Bishop Singleton is just always phenomenal, as always, a great teacher and man of God, and just been blessed just to hear him elaborate on different things. But the main thing I can say, you know that he's going to always give you truth, and he's going to always come from Scripture. He's going to take you back there from that and find it in the book. I just thank God for everything that I've heard on today, and I'm with you, Evangelist Bernard. Glad to hear Pastor Morris on the line. glad to have him in, and just God bless everybody on today.
Amen, amen. And we're going to pray for you before we dismiss Lady Morris. We're going to pray for you. We hear it in your voice. Amen.
Yeah.
So give us a minute. We only have a few more people on the line. We're going to go to Evangelist Moody. God bless you.
Shalom. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I want to say, as it's an honor to hear Bishop Singleton. At the present time, I'm a member of Bishop, Lord have mercy, Bishop Winston Singleton's church at the present time. And Bishop Alfred Singleton is my former pastor. And I just want to say that he is a fine teacher. He is a man of wisdom. And he is very wise. And that's what I've noticed about you, Bishop Singleton. I want to just thank God for hearing your voice once more and again. And my mother's on the line, too, because I wanted her to hear him. She's heard Bishop Singleton out here. So I wanted her to hear Bishop Alfred Singleton.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Mother Moody.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
I enjoyed
him very much. I really enjoyed Bishop Singleton, the father.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm honored. Try to help people.
Amen,
yes.
Amen. Well, thank you all for tuning in. We certainly appreciate that. Amen. This has been a marvelous lesson today, so we truly thank God for that. Amen, amen.
I'm
We're going to go to Minister
missed...
Aaron. Go ahead, Mother. Did you have a question?
Oh, I was just meaning to say that I didn't mean to say the father. I meant to say his brother. Sorry.
All right.
Yes.
Amen, amen. Well, God bless you, Mother Moody. We thank God for you. Thank God for you, Evangelist Moody. Amen. We're going to go to Minister Aaron Singleton, who is one of our listeners and also one of the sons of Bishop Alfred Singleton. God bless you, Minister Aaron. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him.
I didn't get to hear it too much. I was getting a haircut, and, you know, my birthday tomorrow, so I was
trying to get your birthday tomorrow?
Yeah. Remember I told
all
you?
All right, he had to get that in there, y'all. He letting y'all know it's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get things together because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, we talked about coming to New Orleans, so I had to get my suit out the cleaners. I was just been doing some things, getting myself ready.
All right.
So, you know, I'm trying to get myself ready to prepare to go down there, you know, to come, you know, do the work for the Lord, because that's important, you know, and to do the work for the Lord. I just thank God, you know, for using you for me to come that way. I didn't know, but I'm going in faith, you know, I'm trusting in God. Whatever God got for me, you know, it's for me. I can't do nothing about it. So I just thank God for, you know, having me on here. And my dad did a nice message with his teaching. You know, he's no joke on that teaching and, you know, and speaking the truth and all that, you know what I'm saying? Because like you said, way back at the Crusades in 96, we was down in Montgomery, Alabama, and the Lord was using them then, back then. So, you know, just nothing but the Lord to come back to New Orleans. And I told my dad, I've been telling him, I said, God ain't done with him in that Crusade. Because, you know, he started something, he got to keep finishing it and help out. So I believe God got him around here. And, you know, we long livers in our family on his side. You know, he'll be 100-something years old before God, you know.
Oh, yeah, that can happen.
And I love y'all. So he did an excellent job. You know, I ain't got to really talk too much about my daddy because, you know, he's one of the baddest teachers and preachers to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tell it like it is, the truth. So that's why God got God got my dad here like Moses. So, you know, that's why he's here still. And that's it. But you know,
amen.
Wait till we come down to the crusade. You ain't seen nothing yet. God,
all right. I believe that.
I'm geek. Lord Jesus, I'm geek. I ain't even playing. God
amen.
Around yesterday for me. And I'm getting ready.
All right. Well, we thank God for you, Aaron. We're looking forward to it. We're excited. We're going to go to Sister Albertine. Amen. And then we're going to come back to Bishop Singleton for final remarks. But before Bishop Singleton come back, I want to know if Lady T is available. We certainly want to hear something from Lady T. Amen. So, Sister Albertine, God bless you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord, saints. Mrs. Fenar, Sister Ruby. I came on a little late, so I'm sorry to the man of God. Give honor. I just have a quick question about when you have, do you have to be licensed in order to be a prophetess? And I know you have to be for as apostle, evangelist. I just been had some questions about what are the qualifications if you're considered yourself a prophetess or an apostle, or how does that work? How does the procedure work? Or does someone have to ordain you or license you or give you papers? I'm just curious to know how that works to be a prophetess.
All of these if the Bible is the church is really fully contained of the necessities to organize and to work. He gave some to be teachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and et cetera. That's in the Bible. These gifts,
right.
The fivefold ministries, is contained in the Bible. And God have to do that. He calls people, and that is when God called you, you know when he called you because he know how to get our attention. But
yeah.
The thing about it, no one can make you a preacher. God have to do that. You can have the desire, which is good, to be a prophet, a teacher, whatever, all these gifts, but God have to give them to you. And he have to give you the ability to work in those ministries. But you got a lot of people that are, they went, but they haven't been sent by God.
Yeah.
And this is what you have today. And everybody should know the truth, and then you should know who you got the truth from. And
amen.
What is that word, oh God, is truth. And forever settle in heaven. So those are the things that you got to be very careful about, because there are many spirits that is going out in the world, and people is controlled by all kinds of spirits. And I don't have to stretch that down in New Orleans, Algiers, and all these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no spirit like the Word and the Spirit of God, and
mm-hmm.
Know them that have the rule over you, and know where you got the truth from. You see, this is what you got to know. And if you're a prophetess, if you're evangelist, if you're a pastor, if you got any of these gifts, then it is proven by the work that you're doing.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I'm here. Amen.
Institutions that are just organized by men, which are very needful. Jesus had one. He had an organization, and Judas Iscariot. You hear me?
Yes.
I said Jesus had an organization, and Judas Iscariot was the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but you should know who you're dealing with. There's so much is going out into the world, false prophets and teachers and evangelists and all this and type of things of that sort, because people love money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't eat money, and you're not going to take it with you where you're going, my sister. You got to have God on your side, and that is according to his word.
Mm. Amen.
So that's,
thank you so much.
That
summed
works.
It up. And
yes,
I love it. Thank you so much. God bless you. You are phenomenal. I love
well,
you, man, God. Thank you so much.
I'm just honored to be a help in working with God's people.
Mm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, daughter.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Albertine. We're going to go and see if Lady T is available, and then we're going to give it back into our co-host and let Bishop have final remarks. Lady T, is Lady T available?
No, she's not, Lady.
She was so tied up.
She's tied up? All right. Well, I want you all to know. Okay, I want you all to know that Bishop Alfred Singleton and Lady Antoinette Singleton will be two of our speakers in our crusade, and that will be happening next week. So invite somebody. If you're in the city of New Orleans and the surrounding cities, Mississippi, amen, Texas, Louisiana, we certainly extend that invitation for you to come and be a part of this 2014 Citywide Crusade. Amen. We have a host of speakers. We also have Bishop Alfred Singleton's nephew who will be speaking for us tomorrow, and that's none other than Dr. Winston L. Singleton. We all know Dr. Singleton on our broadcast. He's always here to impart a word to us as we call upon him. So he will be one of the speakers. Also, we have Presiding Bishop Leo S. Lewis that will be speaking for our prayer breakfast, and he will be doing a prophetic impartation. Amen. Yeah. And that's just laying on hands, as Bishop said. All it is repeating history, repeating something that's already been declared. Amen. Yeah. And also we have Pastor Beatrice Martin all the way from Stockton, California. We have Pastor Tajana Logan from Atlanta, Georgia. We have Prophet Anthony Hill from Miami, Florida. And also at the host church, amen, the man that has been so liberal and has been so kind to open up their sanctuary for me to host this event, and that's none other than the presiding prelate of the Family of Churches Fellowship International, Pastor R.C. Blakes. Amen. And I don't think I've missed anybody. And one of my cousins, who's also a minister, and he is a minister of music. I'm telling you, Bishop Singleton, Professor Belton, I've called him Belton because he's one of the greatest. Don't have nothing on Minister Maurice Bradford. So he will be our minister of music, amen, for this occasion. So we're just excited about what God is doing. And I tell you, I am happy to have Bishop Singleton coming down with us for this event, because he was one of the ones that I know of in our family that did these crusades. And that, Aaron said, it was 1996. That's almost 20 years. And now the Lord has raised up a little city girl out of New Orleans to come back home and declare his name. So I'm excited about what God is doing. Amen. So we're going to go to Sister Ruby and see if she has a remark or any question for Bishop Singleton, and then we're going to let him close us out with our final remarks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sister Ruby.
Oh, God bless. Did you want Lady Mars to get prayed for, or you want me to?
Yes, yes. I'll have Bishop Alfred to do that before we close.
Okay, God bless Bishop Alfred Singleton. You know, it's a great day. The Lord has been going higher and higher. With the, I think it's 2 years and 8 months I've been on this broadcast, and the Lord go higher and higher, and he told Evangelist Bernard to go, and she packed up and went to New Orleans. The Lord gave her peace because she was wrestling with it, but he gave her peace, and she went on. And I was telling the radio audience and our friends and loved ones that come on the broadcast that Evangelist Adrian had this plan 2 years ago, but she wanted to start out in the Carolinas, and it didn't come fast. She had to be over it, and she wasn't over it in the Carolinas. She was she was given different ones to do it and host, and the pastors and bishops would do it. But the Lord said she was sort of kind of a little sad about it. But the Lord told her to go. But not only that, he said that she will take care of Danielle. He's going to open the gates for her and go take care of Nino, the last one to graduate. And she got peace. So the Lord not only gave her peace in the travel, but he gave her the crusade in New Orleans. Mm. That's where it was going to be for him all the time. So, Bishop, I truly thank God for you today, because you go, oh, glory, you go back a long way, you know, and you've been faithful and preaching God's word to his precious. Mm. And I say, Lord, bless him the more. You can't get more what you are. And I say, Lord, I thank you, because he's talking about Azusa Street. That's where the power was. God bless you, for taking out of your busy schedule to come and give a word to God's people on this broadcast. God bless.
Well, thank you, and I'm very humbled and honored for those encouraging words. We are just servants of God, that's all, trying to make it. And because time is winding up, And I try to encourage all the people of God out there, keep looking up, because time won't be long. The very fact that prophetic prophecy is being fulfilled, Israel is the nation. And don't forget that you all these things that you're hearing about today has already been prophesied.
Glory.
That is known as prophetic prophecy, but it's history told in advance, so it should be so. And you have never seen the lights in the Middle East. You have never seen. They got the road to peace and this and that and other, and they're always breaking up and coming back to the table. That's because God got it in his hand. And Israel is the fig tree. And this type of worldly stuff and Muhammad and with his, God and things of that sort. But we got to hold on as never before. Time is winding up. So God bless you all. We're looking to have a wonderful
day.
And let us pray for the success of Israel. And we're going to pray for those that are ill and sick in the midst that have request prayer. All right.
Jesus,
all right.
Jesus. Amen. Yes, we want you to pray for Lady Mars.
But we have continued in prayer and supplication for her sister who was incarcerated and have been in there. 20 years, and we have prayed for her, and I told her that God was able to help her. And, of course, and what our things are looking now that she has received, that they're going to let those people out who have not committed a very tragedy felony against, they're going to let them out first. And we're going to pray that God will bless each of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father and God, we thank you for this gathering today and for my cousin and for those who work with her and for the whole movement, Lord. And there are those out there that we have never seen that are listening to this and probably will never see them except we see them in heaven. We ask you, dear God, to stretch out your healing hand.
Yes,
bind God. The devil, Satan, I come against you. You have no power over me. I take your power.
God.
And bind you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You have no power.
Glory.
Power, you're a blind wonder.
Yes,
I plead the blood. Give help and healing and strength to you. That's just a
glory.
Open up the avenues for her. Bless us, Lord.
Yes, God.
Wonderful crusade. Save souls.
Save souls, God.
And God, move every obstruction. Give them, oh Lord, as a ready mind to preach the gospel.
Lord.
God, as a vessel of honor and meat for the master's use.
Yes,
we thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name. Name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And the mercy. Lift her up where she
belongs.
God. Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Go work across this country, across the world. We don't know where this country is going, but we are trying to tell this story about Jesus. According to your eternal word, Jesus' name. Thank you,
amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We're looking forward to you. We pray that God will give you a safe flight, you and Lady T, and we're going to be here waiting on you. Amen. We already feel the fire right now. Hallelujah. The crusade of revival have already started in our heart. So God bless you all. We'll see you all on tomorrow. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, Sister Ruby, we're closing on out. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, well, you know, I forgot to, they say, ignite the flame.
Jesus.
Evangelist.
Glory. Yes.
It seemed like it's double talk. We had in the chat room. What is going on with my phone? They were so excited to, they love, Bishop. And they just said happy October. Evangelist.
All right. Yes, I'm here.
We had three, 1768, 1913, and Igniting the Flame. And everybody just loves Bishop Singleton, Alfred. You know, so many of the Singletons, you got to get that first name in there right, huh? The Lord
does.
Yes,
yes.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you all. We're going to close out with Best Days Yet by Bishop Paul Martin. God bless you, Aaron. We're looking for you to be here. Amen. Bless you, Sister Albertine. Thank God for all of you all, Sister Ruby, everybody that was on the line today. I tell you, that's a lesson we need to go back and tap into. Amen.
Okay, I think Evan just said she had something, but I'm going to go ahead. I don't hear it. Break every...
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army. Every chain.
Break Every Chain by Tasha Cobb. Break Every Chain. Hear the chains falling. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. We're closing out.